You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Okay, as we stay in that spirit, you can take a seat for a second. I want to turn us to John 4. If you have a Bible on your phone or an old-fashioned paper Bible, you can open it up to John 4, verse 24. This is the verse that when I recenter myself on worship, which I want us to do this morning, I wanted us that to happen in this time of worship. I especially sense it while we're singing that last song. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There's a recentering, you know, because the world outside is pulling us towards worship. Worship isn't a switch that you turn on when you walk into chapel. It's something that from the very first breath you began to do. And therefore, when I think about worship, I think about chocolate because of the power that it has over me. And doesn't matter what kind of diet I'm on. If it's available in the house and my wife goes out, it's a disaster. It's all over. And that is because I'm a worshiping being. I will gravitate towards things that have a power over me. And those things are very magnetic. In fact, if you get in a boat and you try to sail with a traditional compass from one side of a large body of water to another, and you use magnetic north, you will never arrive in the place that you want to arrive at. You have to use true north, which is different than magnetic north, through a process of navigation that will get you to the place that you need to be in. Very often, although it's just a little bit of a degree difference, the world is pulling us towards magnetic things, and Jesus is pulling us to what is true. And in worship, God gives us this verse. It's the most beautiful story where Jesus meets the woman at the well. If you've seen The Chosen, this is the last episode of season one of The Chosen, and I just was like, wow, when I watched it. The most beautiful portrayal of Jesus meeting the woman at the well who showed up for water because she was thirsty, and then he blows her mind by just her saying, hey, I know more about you than you think I know. And he tells her about her life, and she says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And yeah, in his head he's like, I'm a little bit more. But the point is that the assignment of that moment was to describe to her the fact that worship no longer needs a place anymore, like a temple. Jesus was the one that you worship. You no longer need a location. You just need a person, a point of true north that you can fix your eyes on as a worshiper. And so you might feel like this chapel is the place to worship, but I'm telling you that there is a Jesus in your life who wants to meet you in your dorm room, who wants to meet you out while you're walking, who wants to meet you in your darkest place, in the valley that you might be in, and he invites you to worship with him there. There's also a secret place. In Matthew chapter 5, uh, chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love standing in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by men. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. The 2022 version of that is, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to Instagram their quiet times. Truly, I say to you, they have received their likes. Just saying. It's in the Word. But when you pray, go into a door and close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's that true place with the Lord where it's just you and Him. And one of my challenges to you this morning is, do you have that place? Do you have a secret place where you go to with the Lord and you meet with Him? Because the reward that He gives you is Himself. The reward that He gives you is answered prayer. And often God even will, in that secret place, ignore your prayer list of requests to actually satisfy the deepest longings within your heart. I promise you. But the scripture tells us, go to that, find that secret place and pray to Him. It's all about location. The second thing is in John 4, God gives a prescription for worship. Now, we live in an age of increased sickness and fear. And I'll confess, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. And, you know, when someone in my home is sick, I'm like, oh, am I sick? You know, it doesn't matter what it is. And often in my 20s, that would involve me going off and finding a doctor and saying to the doctor, I feel like I have this. And sometimes I did legitimately have something and he would write for me a prescription. And what I wouldn't do is go to the pharmacy and fulfill that prescription and say, now I think he had it wrong here a little bit. What I need is this medication and something else as well. No, because the doctor prescribes the prescription and it's my job simply to go and fulfill it. And in John 4:24 here, when he's talking specifically about true worship, he says, this is true worship. People who worship me in spirit and truth. And then he ends the sentence. And my friends, as I transfer this spirit to you this morning, let me confess to you that I am a person who adds to that list as well. I have not overcome Magnetic North. And often when I come to worship the Lord, I think spirit, yep, and truth, yep, and what is that for you? Because sometimes in my life, in my world, it's spirit and truth, and it's got to be the right environment for me. And spirit and truth, and when I'm feeling like I want to worship. And spirit and truth, and as long as you don't play that song that I've become really tired of. And spirit and truth, and, you know, God help us, but like, you know, I'll really worship at this concert, but I won't really worship when it's just church. And the problem that I found in my life is as soon as I add to the prescription, then it's not the real prescription anymore. And my heart towards you today is Jesus meets the woman at the well, has that beautiful moment with her and just says, it's just this, spirit and truth. Spirit and truth is this. Truth is the Word of God informing who I am so that you can worship me truthfully. I am who I say I am in the Word. And that is the word that you should believe about who I am. If someone tells you about me and says something that you can't back up in my word, it is not truth, because I've given my word for you as truth so that you can change that compass towards true worship. And then spirit is the beautiful essence of the fact that when we have a soul inside of us, and when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm leaving my spirit with you. And with your spirit combined with my spirit, engaged and informed by the word of God, that is all you require to worship me in. That is the true worship that I require. And this afternoon, we're going to be filling this room with worship leaders, and they're all going to be looking for the, how can I make my thing better? And how can I... And those are all great things. You know, the psalmist says, play skillfully unto the Lord, you know, but he's definitely not saying add to this list spirit and truth and it has to sound like Hillsong, or spirit and truth and it has to, you have to, you know, you have to wow people. Nope, just spirit and truth. And my friends, my brothers and sisters here, that is, believe me, on the word of God, that is all that he requires from you. And then the last thing is identification. The amazing thing about that moment where Jesus met the woman at the well is that Jesus had all the authority. And as you read down in that verse, in fact, let me turn to it. If you've got a Bible, turn to John 4. Down in verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. It's beautiful. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What a beautiful story. Has anybody got the ESV? Anybody in the room? Yes. Ah, my brother in the shorts and t-shirt. Dude, you are the winner of all things today. Buy that guy a steak dinner. In the ESV, it says that the woman ran down into the town and many people came to faith that day. Many people were saved that day. Not by Jesus, but by the woman who had a spirit and truth worship moment. And as I look out onto this amazing crowd of future leaders, I hope that, you know, you're in your 20s, I'm in my 40s. I hope that at some point I'm sitting where you are and there's one of you up on stage preaching over me with the word of God in your hand, and I will gladly sit under your leadership and receive it. And I know this is that I may have the microphone today, but I have no authority in this place. Jesus has all the authority to do whatever he wants, but he has given me influence and he's given you influence, just like he gave the woman at the well influence. And she was the one who ran down the hill into the town and left her water behind because she wasn't physically thirsty anymore, because her complete thirst was satisfied by Jesus without drinking a drop of water. And that's what Jesus has for you today. And he wants to give you that influence. You might end up in a situation or a career where you don't have authority. But Jesus, that matters the most, that is your true north in worship, has given you all the influence that you need to worship him, to tell the truth about him, to transfer his spirit to people who don't know him. And he's given that to you today. And if you're sitting in this room even and you're just kind of like, yeah, but I've never done that, you can do that today. You can turn and stand at that well and meet with Jesus for the first time. He doesn't need a chapel for you to worship him. He'll be hanging out in your car. Whenever we turn our affections to God, he becomes present. He's not a God who says, wait. Wait a second, I'm busy with someone else. He says, no, I'm here for you right now. He's a God that gives you a prescription, and he is a God that gives you an identification. You can find it all right there, John 4, 23 and 24. If you receive that with me today, let's hold our hands out again to receive from the Lord. Just stay seated. Father, we receive your Spirit and your Word today freely. Thank you, God, that you've made yourself available, that your arm is not short, the Scripture says, that you're available to every single person. Not only have you seen everything that we've done, but Father, still you run towards us as we run toward you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're present in this room this morning. Not at 3 a.m. when the lights were turned off, but when your people gathered to worship you here. You met with us here in a sweet way. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Sing that over your brothers and sisters this morning. Come on. We in this room this morning based on what I've said, that it would not be because of my lips and my mouth, but because of your power, because of your authority. May my brothers and sisters be encouraged today as they go out into this day and live all the things that God has reserved for them, not for tomorrow and not for 5 years from now, but the things reserved for today. And that your mercies are full, Lord, full for us to feed upon and rest upon today, because they came up with the sun. Thank you that you're not an old God, not an old man. It's our sin that has made us old and growing old, but you are without sin, so therefore you are a young God who delights to hang with his kids. And that you will walk out of this room. In fact, I pray against the power of the evil one who would stand at the door and try to snatch away the good things that we hear inside of this room. And instead, I pray that Jesus would walk out with each and every one of us this morning and meet us in the place that we need to be met today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Bethel, for having us this morning, and I did a really poor job of not introducing my friend Tom Madison to you, who got up with me at 4:30 this morning to drive here. And thank you for having us, and God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu, or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.